Good morning, good evening, and good night. Welcome back to Star Trek Alive. I'm your game master for today, Bazag, and here we are in a Star Trek Adventures live play where we base our world off the world of Star Trek Online and the Foundry shenanigans that have happened inside. I play the chief engineer, Rick Tier, and on occasion his mirror counterpart. So let's continue on with our acting captain, CMO.
Do me last. I'm eating taco.
Okay. Well, it's not a taco, but...
First, folks. Eli wants you to do him after he has tacos.
Tacos.
All right. Let's go to DB, then. DB.
Hello. I do not play Star Trek Online. And that's why I play the character that I do.
And Garal.
Taco, taco time. You wanna be at taco time? I don't know what I'm singing.
What about JB?
Incoherent loud noises.
I could do a dinosaur screech.
I think we all could, but we're all showing a little self-restraint.
And Kara.
Yeah, I'm doing much better now that Stets has salvaged that sarcasm circuit from Tom Servo. It works really well.
I'm not sure how to process that, because the sarcasm is enabled, but my brain is just currently exploding. Let's jump to Marcus.
Taco Bell. Taco Bell. Product placement at Taco Bell. Hello, I am Duck, and I play Marcus.
This session is sponsored by the combination Taco Bell and Urgent Care.
Please, if you go to Taco Bell, please say Urgent
At my
care.
Age, I'm uncomfortably close to both of those at times.
All right, Eli, you've gotten time. Have you finished your tacos yet?
I have not finished the tacos, so these will be a constant thing, but I have something witty to say. It's been a while since we've seen a... So I've brought us in a temporary chaplain, meet Velocipastor.
You know what? I think I might have to change my stance on religion.
All right. Thank you for that. Let's then jump right into the episode. So we have just settled down a bit after some Romulan Tal Shiar agents, agent in particular, almost caused the destruction of Starbase Magellan. The Alliance...
I mean, almost is doing a lot of heavy lifting there. I don't think it was really very almost.
No, it wasn't really, but, you know, you gotta play things up for the quote-unquote camera.
I believe, as I think was stated in a previous session, the Tal Shiar is not what it was.
And, anyway, the Alliance Exploration Initiative is... humming into a normal rhythm again. The Romulans and the Klingons that have joined have settled into a respectful a respectful arrangement that they're no longer trying to one-up each other right now. And for now, they're both currently...
Oh, no, they're definitely trying to do that. They're definitely just doing it peacefully. You know, competition.
In the approved Starfleet manner.
Exactly.
And they're currently running whatever off, doing their own thing and exploring the area around them. So, Captain Mercer, the commanding officer of Starbase Magellan, contacts you, Eli. Captain Eli O'Connor, this is Mercer.
Hello? Hello?
Well, I just gotten a report. Some freighter captains have detected what appears to be a starbase orbiting a planet in a system that we haven't properly catalogued yet.
Insert alphanumeric code here.
Mm.
I guess we look at that. Maybe it has a sentient species if there's a starbase.
To be fair, we did once discover a sentient species on a starbase that was decrepit.
Yes,
$2.
We do not yet have any kind of information on what sentient species might or might not be on there, but I think that's your job to find out.
Of course. We could even probably bring maybe subs with us or the Romulan ship and, you know, show them how it's done.
Well, they're currently busy with their own exploration duties, but perhaps we can arrange a joint expedition sometime soon.
That would be fair.
All right, I'll send you the coordinates, Anton out.
Roger that. Really glad there's all audio, Eli says, you know, digging into his knot.
John is sitting next to him, eating.
I'm just thinking to myself, if they have to have, like, a bunch of takes for that, you're going to be real sick of nachos by the end of the day.
John was the delivery tardigrade who got his cut of nachos.
I like to believe that John isn't someone in a suit or special effects. John is just a tardigrade they found who works on Star Trek Reliant.
He went to Tijuana for the chos and the tequila.
All right, so take it you call everyone together and get on your way. Is there anything else, anything anyone likes to do before that?
I just dropped a chip.
No.
Did Mercer drop these orders to anyone else?
Well, he gave it to the captain, who's presumably going to be spreading it to the crew.
I mean, the captain's busy right now, so in the meantime, Marcus is just... Oh, you're calling the team meetings now?
I'll let you do your thing first, then.
Marcus is over in Club 42, just enjoying a coffee, reading a datapad. He flicks page. His eyes turn orange. He switches to a different page. His eyes turn back to his normal gray-hazel. And then he turns back to the previous page, and it kind of goes back and forth. So effectively, he and Ilium are having a bit of an argument.
Kara comes by and sits down with a mug of something. Captain, lost in your thoughts?
You could say that.
Which one's thoughts?
He looks over, sighs, and he kind of fixes back to Graves' mug. Ilium's a bit bored, trying to get... I need to do work, though, but yeah, he's... saying, like, oh no, I can process it and tell you.
I see. It sounds similar to what might happen if Kieran was inside my head. Which, for the record, I would dislike very much.
Except it's also, like, myself, so that's that. It kind of starts coming off as crazy talk.
Carr just nods and sips from her, you know, mug, and somebody says, well, what do you suppose we'll probably be asked to do next? Hopefully some actual exploring.
Yeah, I'm going to say exploring. I mean, with the Klingons and Romulans here, Federation ships are going to be one. I'll just maintain quota, you could say, on probably get out there, you know, push a little bit further.
Well, hopefully we have finally buried the hatchet between the Klingons and the Romulans, and thankfully it does not seem to have been buried in anyone's head.
As of yet.
I will work to maintain the peace.
And I'll try to keep Ilium in line so he doesn't say anything to provoke.
Well... She seems at a loss for words, and she just says, look, if you ever have problems with him, just let me know. I don't know that I can do anything, but I can listen.
I mean, there's totally, like, just punching me out. Feel free to do that.
Are you sure you want to tell me to do that? I did shoot Whately one time.
I know, but yeah, no hesitation. If Alien becomes a problem, just take me out.
Acknowledged.
And, like, his eyes flicker orange, and he just says, like a, oh, you bastard expression before looking back.
And to which Kara simply finishes what's in her mug and says, well, if you two can keep the peace, I won't have to hurt either of you.
Well,
and with that, she stands up and gives him a little wave.
Now it's time for team meeting.
Right, where does this team meeting happen?
It's going to be in the meeting room, obviously.
Yeah, everyone gets their summons to the conference room.
Kara, being punctual, shows up early, simply gives Eli a salute if he's in the room. Simply sits down if he's not.
Eli is in the room.
Setsu follows shortly after.
Quarles shows up a little bit late with a pile of pads.
Grog wanders in, nose deep in a security report.
Daniel shows up last, as usual. Although, unbeknownst to most, he is kind of keeping that up. The act of always being late to these. He is much better at navigating the ship by this point.
I just want to say Rick Tier is also there, but he sort of just blends in.
Kara will look at Grawl and simply say, why did you bring all of those?
Well, a lot of them, for some reason, can only display, like, one document at a time. I don't understand why pads are like this.
Okay, but why do you need all those documents at this meeting?
Oh, I was just in the middle of doing research, and I forgot to put them back in. And it was closer to come here than put them back in my quarters.
There's a slow electronic blink as Kara just wonders why Grawl didn't just leave them behind wherever he had been before. But she lets it go.
All right, crew, you're probably wondering why I've gathered you all here today.
Presumably to give us orders.
Yes, we have orders to go on an adventure, a mission.
Yay! It's like exploration mission, right? Not like, you know, intel mission or espionage mission. Not making us infiltrate the true way, right?
I'd say somewhere between recon mission and exploration. Yeah. So there's a random star base in a system we've never been to.
What?
And we have orders to go check it out. If it's haunted, I'm just afraid it's going to be haunted. I just got a bad feeling.
Well, I mean, there's been reports of, like, Davidians hopping around or something. It is possible it's actually haunted. I mean, the odds are kind of low this far out.
I mean, the odds are kind of low that we would discover a sentient species on board a pre-warp-capable space station, but...
I'm sorry, I'm still... Why do you guys think that this place is going to be haunted?
It's just a feeling.
I never thought it was going to be haunted. Ghosts don't exist.
Besides Davidians, they're not really ghosts.
Davidians are not ghosts.
I'm pretty sure actual ghosts are real.
They are. There's been rumors about the ones that live in candles.
Yeah, no, I was about to say there's the candle ghosts.
Kara's eye twitches electronically, which looks more like static than it moving erratically.
Aren't those parasitic energy beings not actually like dead people?
I don't know. I've never seen one kind of like before.
It's kind of like, I don't know, splitting hairs. Like, hey, it's a parasitic energy being. Oh, it's a ghost. It's like they're doing the same thing.
Well, they're kind of more like vampires and ghosts, aren't they?
No, vampires.
Drops down a note to a note to self. Look into energy beings?
All right, so if there's ghost vampires on the station, you will be careful. Let's just hope that it's going to be a fun exploration.
And I just want to be absolutely clear, actual vampires are real. My dad told me so.
Kara just pinches the bridge of her nose.
John is taking notes.
Well, unless you need me for something else, sir, I will get us en route to the necessary coordinates. We can begin scanning as soon as we arrive.
Yeah, sounds good. As you have noticed, there's a giant thing of nachos in the table, so take as many. John got way too much. I don't think I can eat all of them.
I do not require such food, but thank you. And she'll stand up and walk back out to the bridge.
Is it sauce or melted cheese type of nachos?
It's cheese sauce with ground.
Alright, Daniel does not partake. He's more of a melted cheese type of guy.
I mean, it's nacho cheese, like cheese sauce.
I don't know.
Suit yourself. And John. John, if we don't finish these, just take them to Detroit. Give them to someone random.
Well, I mean, I could also just, like, leave them around in Club 42.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel does grab one chip that doesn't have anything on it as just eat it as a normal chip before walking away.
That is the only chip that doesn't have anything on it. The rest are just slathered in nacho cheese. I don't know.
Setsa's very careful to clean up after she's had her nachos, so she don't... The sensor panel at her science station all cheesy.
It's okay. John also brought some moist towelettes.
Setsa bows to John and takes... Yay! I do good, right? I do good.
Yes.
It's good?
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
All right, well, time to go take the chair.
For Barry pops in the door. Hey, they said that there was free nachos here. Ferrari comes in along with a bunch of lower deckers who occupied a room as I guess everyone else leaves.
As many as you want. They're fresh and from Mexico. John saw to that.
John indicates that there's another bucket of nachos over in the corner.
Non-replicating. When you say bucket of nachos, I'm just thinking of those giant Lowe's carpenter buckets.
Yes.
I think the real question is John wearing a sombrero.
No, he didn't get.
Sad.
Yeah.
Devastating. You were allowed to get a sombrero.
He was very diligent at his work. He was ordered to get nachos.
Actually, I know what happened. One of those sombreros that was made out of nacho. Please tell me somebody knows what I'm talking about.
Despicable Me reference.
Simpsons did it.
Yeah.
All right. We're on the bridge. Doing the warps. Actually, as a thing, Kara, do you just warp or do you quarantine? Since that's something Reliant has in base specification.
All right, so I'm going to ask you, is there any reason not to do slipspace drive? Is there any sort of issue with it causing subspace damage or anything like high warp does?
Nope.
Well, then I'm just going to use that because it'll get us there faster.
Yeah. Feel free to just do cruising speed. It's not that far away. I don't think, how far away is it actually?
Yeah, it isn't that far away. You don't have to do quantum slip stream, but you can.
Kara just kind of looks over her shoulder at Eli, nods, and sets off at warp 5 then.
It's a leisurely pace. You're still going to be taking almost 3/4 of the day to get there at warp 5. But you come out to the edge of the system. It seems from first initial readings that it's a binary star system, a white dwarf and a main series yellow star, probably slightly older than Earth, sort of in this tight circle around each other. Other planets are scattered through the system. Can I get whoever's going to do science to do some science, please? With a reason science.
Since I can do that. But Grawl, do you want to take the lead?
Sure. Reason science?
Is this for people who are on the bridge right now?
Yep.
Yeah, this is the ship scanning the system.
It's just the person at the science station currently.
But wouldn't Charog do that, the security console?
It's a science.
Yeah. Can someone roll for the ship as well? The ship would have sensors, science, whoever has the sheet for the ship.
Uh-oh. There we go. It's like, oh no, it's gone. All right. Sensor rolls.
Yep, sensor science.
Alrighty. And we need to upgrade Reliant.
We just do the ship.
Okay, so the ship got the crit.
5 successes.
The ship only does one dice, so it's 4 successes.
4 successes.
But yeah, you get a really good reading of this. There's everything seems to be pretty normal. There's a planet that's really close that is basically Mercury-like, both tidally locked and devoid of any real atmosphere. You have that being scorched off by the suns just in close proximity. Its orbit is weird, but you know that's what you expect for it to being too close to a binary system. There's some gas giants on the outer system. There is another 2 rocky planets. One is more Venus-like, just sort of heavy, dense, thick atmosphere. The gravity is relatively strong, probably about 1.5 Gs worth. But it's this last one that's in the second position between the other rocky planet and the Mercury one that is most interesting. First of all, it is in the Goldilocks zone. It should be life bearing, but the readings you have is that it's a barren, scourged wasteland. You are detecting lots and lots of craters on it. Something had land, like lots of asteroids or something had bombarded this planet and stripped it of its potential life-bearing capability. In orbit around that planet is a space station. And I will just post a link in Game Term chat over a certain someone's doodle of the space station.
Kara, while looking over the data, comes in and just simply says, "Someone really did a number on that planet. They clearly didn't like what was down there." And then as the picture of the space station comes up, she just kind of raises her eyebrows and says, "Well, there's something you don't see every day."
Yes, it looks like fuzzy grapes.
It kind of reminds me of First Federation ships.
It reminds me of small life microscopics.
Sets and narrows her eyes and says, "It does remind me of."
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Mm. Who wants to talk to a puppet today?
Sets and growls a little bit.
So just for our listeners, I want to describe the station a bit in better detail. It's made up of basically like a collection of balls that have essentially been stuck together. Sort of like a pyramid, a layer of grids that layer on top and in between each other. So it essentially turns into a pyramid that's reflected on both sides, one that's going up and from the base and one that's going down into this almost diamond-like shape. One of the spheres appears to be torn to shreds as strips of metal jut out into space, leaving one of the balls open to vacuum.
Well, while we're on the idea of First Federation, can anyone get a make of its general manufacture?
I would say that with the roll you got, you have two momentum if you want to spend them on obtaining. And perhaps as a science officer, you would get a free one of those as well.
I see no reason why not.
Let us do it.
All right, so if you're asking if there's any indication of patterns of that remind you, I mean, the shape does remind you of the First Federation, but the materials and what you can see inside, this doesn't seem to actually be First Federation. This is another group entirely, one that none of you seem to recognize.
Kara moves over to Setsa's console and types in a few things and says, "Here, see if you can cross-correlate this with Conclave records. They may know more than you."
All right. Cross-correlating now. And Setsa will try to check their sensor readings against Conclave records.
Okay. Give me a reason science from Setsa.
And would informations come into play as a focus?
Information systems?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will allow that.
Oh.
Oops.
What the?
I screwed up the typing.
Yeah, well, that should be two successes at least.
Yeah. It is two successes.
Set the complication range to 5.
I guess technically since Kara is helping, I should throw in a die. Give me just a second to find my science reason.
The result stab looks like hieroglyphics.
All right. Who wants to see a low roll?
Apparently no one.
And I got a success, actually, so 3.
Okay. So, comparing to the Conclave, there's no exact match. Even the Conclave hasn't come up with a starbase similar to this. But they have been to a location, a planet-bound location, that has very similar architectural elements.
Good news, everyone. It's apparently not a threat to all life in the galaxy, at least as far as the Conclave is concerned.
In fact, she
goes over and sits back down at her con station.
Before she does that, this is where the Conclave found Kara's current body. This is reminded of the source of Kara's body.
Interesting. Kara does share this with the crew, mentioning that this appears to be where the Conclave recovered my original body. Well, the one I'm using now, anyway. The original.
Setsa says, "Well, I mean, that could be either a good thing, and we're going to find the synthetic people, or it's a bad thing, because these people took that body."
Given other possible ties to the Soar, it also raises a great deal of questions. If I might ask for one last favor, Setsa, do me a favor and scan for chronoton radiation. I wish to be sure there's no time shenanigans.
Right, scanning for chronotons.
So you can use a momentum for that action. You currently have two. And we'll make an extra check for that.
Yep, let's go ahead and do that.
Okay. So with that momentum spend, there does seem to be, in fact, no radiation readings at all. No chronoton, no tachyon, no even baryon, no signs of any energy or radiation emitting from this station at all.
Are they getting reflected radiation from the nearby system? So does it look like it just is dead? Or is it preventing the release of radiation? It's like, how much of an anomaly, or how much of a hole in space is that lack of...
Okay, so there is... it's a bit of both. The system seems mostly dead, but the sensors only seem to penetrate a little bit into the structure. You can't get a good reading internally, but for the amount of radiation you're checking, for the amount of potential ways for energy to leak, you would expect something to come through beyond the area. The station seems dead. There's no activity, no lights, no nothing that would indicate any kind of activity.
Setsa relays the information and says, well, it appears dormant, but at the same time, there could be some significant shielding involved as well.
Once again, not something you see every day.
All right, I want to hear some suggestions.
Well, the most obvious suggestion. We send a shuttle to dock with the station and explore.
We could also bring the Reliant closer and, you know, dock with it.
Not sure how I feel about docking with it, just in case there's any structural instability.
I would agree with the captain on this one. We should either beam over or take a shuttle. We shouldn't directly connect the Reliant to something we don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Kara, take it away, team. Use a shuttle.
Yes, sir. Kara stands up and she immediately points at Grawl, Chorog, and Setsa saying, I'll need all of you for sure.
What about John?
John can also come. More security is never bad.
Yep. Good to have his little spore jumpies, but also someone to watch the shuttle as well.
John, go find DB and drag him along. He needs to get out of his room more.
Also, bring Graves with you. He needs to get out more, too.
Oh, I was hoping to get back on to my research about the preservers.
Kar looks at Grawl. Well, if you don't want to come explore the strange new station where no one's ever been before.
What if these are...
Yes.
Kar just has kind of a quirked smile and nods to Setsa and heads down to the shuttle bay to await for... you know, the rest of the crew. As she does, she walks in with Chorog and simply says, do you mind if we take your shuttle?
I'd prefer it, actually.
I would too, actually. So let's go ahead and do that.
Presently, John is chasing...
I'll prep for launch.
Presently, John is chasing Daniel down a hall, crying out,
Adventure! Haunted Starbase!
He's not, because Daniel has been... I thought Daniel was already going to be like part of this mission since he was called into the ready room.
It's been like 3/4 of a day.
And you usually don't have Daniel hang out on the bridge, or I just would have pointed to you.
Yeah, I was just saying. Yeah. Well,
significant time has passed, and John is trying to chase down Daniel and get him aboard, but he's doing a poor job at articulating why exactly he's.
Okay, I was just saying. Daniel has been researching energy beings and just in case ghosts, legitimate recorded things about ghosts, just in case for the mission ahead.
Yeah, and on that point, you'll get a lot of research on various beliefs and mythologies around humanoid cultures, as well as strange anomalies in energy phenomena and energy beings that have played the role of ghosts in various systems. What you don't find is confirmation that ghosts actually exist.
Can I add something?
Yeah.
Independently published and not verified records from a certain man in the yellow coat you met.
Oh no. There's a very detailed breakdown of that ghost totally exists, but it's from this one record of someone you recognize.
Daniel, renewed in his belief that ghosts probably aren't real, hears John and puts his spacesuit helmet on, because he's just kind of been waiting around for the call.
Daniel, we going on an adventure to space?
Well, I think I'm dressed for the occasion.
Shuttle bay.
Are we walking, or? We
take Turok shuttle.
Okay.
Pew-pews.
I guess I'll go then?
That was good. I gotta go hunt down Graves now.
Do you outrank me?
I think so. I'm lieutenant, and, you don't, wear the pippy collar, so it's hard to keep track.
I think Daniel does have the pips.
I think you are an ensign at this point.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, somebody needs a promotion, so this is why you gotta go along.
He is wearing the spacesuit right now. But yeah, I guess Daniel gives a kind of limp salute and heads towards the shuttle bay.
I will say that as people arrive, Kara has gotten her Tetrion rifle instead of her normal magnetic rifle, and she has made herself at home in the co-pilot's chair, since this is Chorog's shuttle. He, of course, has the honor of piloting.
Setsa has brought her science kit, but also a large pack of effectively emergency medical, emergency field supplies. So, small little portable oxygen ceiling tent, food, water, just in case they get trapped over there.
Or we'll look back over her shoulder. Did you bring any mouse traps?
No.
Kara turns back to the front of the ship, just smiling slightly to herself, and just says, "Given past experience, I just thought they might prove useful."
Well, I got Ryuthane and she.
That'll do.
Very good.
Well, once everyone arrives, it'll be up to Chorog to take us out.
Before you go, I do have a quick question. Eli, are you sending anyone on the mission?
No, I'm just chilling. Hanging.
We don't get.
He can't fit in a spacesuit.
So yes,
surviving. Don't worry.
All right. So everyone gets into the shuttle, and Chorog launches off, following the various protocols that Starfleet have for launching a shuttle, and. How do you, I'm assuming the Reliant goes in gear and the shuttle then launches out of the Reliant and does the last little bit nearby?
Well, mostly up to the captain, but I'd probably want to stay, the Reliant is at least 10 kilometers away from the station, just in case.
Okay. The Reliant stays out of range from standard targeting sensors and the shuttle launches in. How does the shuttle approach the station?
So first question is, who exactly is flying? Is it Chorog or Kara?
It's Chorog.
So, you guys...
Jazz is fine.
I'm just gonna say, when Chorog gets to his shuttle, Daniel's in the pilot seat playing jazz on the sound system.
Okay, so, I would like to point out, Chorog, that when you come to the shuttle, somebody's sitting in your seat, in a spacesuit, playing jazz over your stereo.
Chorog glares at Daniel, just move.
Daniel just doesn't say anything, just puts his hands up, gets out of the seat, okay, all yours. He does not stop the music, though, just gets out of the seat and walks away.
Chorog takes his place, turns off the music, and preps the shuttle for launch.
Kara just kind of suppresses a chuckle and stands by to assist.
We don't listen to jazz in this shuttle. We listen to country. Outlaw country. Chorog pipes in some Waylon Jennings.
All right. Is there any particular place you're targeting at Chorog? We'll get in the shuttle.
Well, once we launch, Chorog immediately puts the shuttle in the cloak and approaches the station. Approaches the station and begins doing passive scans as to not alert any kind of exterior defenses.
Okay, from what your scans do detect, there doesn't seem to be any major docking station until you focus in on area that has been, well, basically not chopped up into, but stripified. That's the word I'm going to use, stripified, where the that does seem to lead to where the hangar bay for the station does. And you do get some indication that there's probably also some storage bays in there as well. You could just land, slowly glide in, and land in the hangar. But
are the hangar doors closed, or are the hangar doors open?
The hangar doors have been stripified, so there is free access.
They've been annihilated. Yeah, it's part of the blown out area.
Jarg begins to scan the station. I'm not seeing any kind of docking facilities, but I am seeing what looks like a cargo bay we can slide into. Looks big enough to house a shuttle.
Kara just kind of squints at it and says, I think that might have been a shuttle bay once.
Yes, as everyone passes, can I get you to do a insight or allow security, con, or engineering as appropriate?
Is everybody?
Everyone, or?
Yeah, everyone can do their own check.
You said insight con or insight engineering or either?
Either. You could also do security.
Oh, come on, Major.
Would metalworking, robotics, or integrating technology apply?
One of those will apply. I won't let you know which one.
And Kara gets a success.
Would xenoarchaeology apply?
No.
Well, I guess the focus didn't matter anyway, because I got a 1. What is with all the 1s for this role specifically?
Everybody's locked in.
Also, I guess I should say I did insight engineering.
Right. There's definitely, with those roles, number of people got 3 successes, so I'm just getting information now that as you pass by the strips, there are 2 main things you notice. One, that the strips were cut in a pattern with some kind of kinetic beam. It wasn't an energy phaser array or bolt or anything. It was like a scalpel almost, cutting through the hull of the station. And secondly, that then the strips were pulled apart from the station with some kind of tractor beam.
Well, it looks at the strips and the apparent tractor beam damage. I think the Borg did this to some Starfleet ships, if I remember right.
Borg are well known for both using kinetic beams as well as tractor beams.
Yeah, this got Borg written all over it. It concerns me.
I haven't really heard much about the Borg, but I think I've heard them mentioned a couple times. What's up with them?
They are, sets of pipes up. So you know zombies, right? From like Terran mythology.
Okay, so it's not ghosts today. Gotcha.
So they're cybernetic zombies. They will inject you with nanoprobes, infect you, and take control of your body, and then eventually replace parts of your bodies. It happens.
And most importantly, you will lose all sense of self. You will become part of their hive mind.
Yep.
It's also important to know that as long as you ignore them, they'll ignore you. But the minute you become a threat, run.
Indeed.
Can Setsa use her... Well, crap, no, she can't because all her Borg implants have been removed. She cannot possibly interface with technology.
I will say, however, that Kara will try to send a quick status update to the ship about their suspicions of Borg.
Wait, did John join us?
Yes.
John is with you guys.
Trog turns to John. John, can you teleport back to the ship? Get my slug thrower.
Righto! He goes and gets it.
Shit. Kara just kind of thinks, well, if I'd known he was going to get that, I would have grabbed it too. But with everyone talking about Davidians, I went ahead and grabbed this energy gun.
Better be prepared.
Now there's an odd thought. Borg Davidians.
I swear, if I don't sleep tonight because of that thought,
I'm not even sure how they would accomplish that, so hopefully that's pretty safe.
Well, the Borg managed to Borgify Undine, so...
With great difficulty, but at least the Undine physically are there. Anyway, once the ship lands, Kara's going to wait for John to get back.
Eli will also be getting this communication about there being potential.
Ah, fun. We'll be staying alert, keeping an eye on the system in case a cube or something shows up.
Larissa is putting, if not the ship on alert, but is definitely, you know, making sure the weapons are primed.
Very good.
Larissa is counting torpedoes.
While the shell is on its approach and we're waiting for John, Trog turns to Daniel and says, another important thing to know about the Borg, energy weapons, good for only a couple of shots, then the Borg adapt. That's why I'm having John get my slug Thor. Borg can't adapt to slugs.
It is possible to remodulate your energy weapons, but this takes precious time. When they're shooting at you, it's very difficult.
And they just don't come one at you, they come all at you.
Graves, he just kind of looks down at his conclave, his trident acquired conclave lance. Like, yeah, I might have a few tricks on that point, but yeah, I'm definitely going to be rolling in melee weapons if we get him, if we find.
Okay, so something you could possibly relate to, Daniel, since you're from Earth. Think of it as the Borg are cybernetic bees. Bees are fine as long as you leave them alone, but the minute you become a threat, they all come to sting you, do they not?
Which you might have found first-hand reference for exploring the Jeffries tubes around Jeffers.
I worked in an Amazon center for a little bit back in the day. I kind of get the gist. A little bit, but...
Said. Oh, God.
The point is, should anyone find Borg, contact the rest of the group if they're not with you, and do not antagonize them.
Right, so the shuttle lands. The outside atmosphere is void of anything. It is directly exposed to the void of space. There is no atmospheric shield. There is no pocket of air or anything inside. Also,
Kara will wait for everyone to get their suits on.
That in the vicinity, there is no sign of any power conduits. Power active, so that means there's no gravity.
Kara just kind of looks at all this and just says, all right, I can magnetize my feet, and I'm probably strong enough to open any of the doors. But I don't think we're going to find a lot of information unless we can restore power.
All right, so priority is going to be, first, securing the situation. Second, trying to see if we can restore some kind of power.
Yeah, if we have power, then we can investigate more fully. They may have some sort of computer system. In the meantime, if everyone is ready...
Let's make for the main engineering so you try to get some kind of power going first.
Well, if we have any idea where that is. But Kara will just basically pop the shuttle door open and just kind of step out onto the deck and then activate the magnetic clamps in her feet.
And with that, I think...
Kara follows and does a sweep of the room.
The room... We'll find out what's in the room after a quick break. All right, welcome back. So we stand out with Kara and the rest of the away team stepping out of Chork's shuttle and with their magnetic clamps on their feet and EV suits on, helmets locked and closed because there is no atmosphere. As you look around, there is no sign of anything. There's nothing being stored. That you can see, there's no equipment, there's no even dust lying on the ground or floor. There's only the walls and floor, ceiling, countertops that have built into the side of the wall. But there's no equipment, no detritus, no debris, no sign of fighting, no sign of Borg nanites.
Kara is going to look around for any sort of writing or symbology on the walls or near a door.
Give me inside security for that.
Also, just to be clear, I understand, this is like an unknown space station that was discovered that we're exploring?
Yes.
Yes.
Also, no successes. Okay.
I mean, it is dark inside. The only lights you have are the lights that are on your EV suits. Whatever. If there is anything in here, it must be fairly small.
Well, I can't find any writing, so with that out of the question, one door is as good as any. I suggest we simply go to the nearest one and see if there's a manual override. I'd rather not break it, just in case we can restore power.
Sounds like a plan. Let's make it happen.
Right. So look around you.
Look for a door.
Yeah, looking around, you do find a total of 3 different doors.
Kara just investigates the first one they come across, because we don't have any idea where any of them lead, so one is as good as another.
So you do examine it. Who wants to examine the doorway?
I could look at it. I have mechanical tinkering and information hacking.
Yeah. And engineering in general.
Yeah. So I'll accept mechanical tinkering for this as a focus.
Okay.
Please
do
a daring
security. If we just need someone to rip the door open, Kara can do that.
Daring security or daring engineering?
I'll do daring engineering.
Right, 2 successes. This is an unusual door. You do find a mechanical manual opening. You do have to take some edging off the door to find it. But there is a manual release that you find, and the door opens. Find yourself in what looks like an airlock. Another door just a couple of meters ahead of you.
Once again, Kara steps into the airlock looking for any sort of text or writing on the walls.
Give me another insight check. I will allow con, security, science, I think.
Well, I already went ahead and did, security, so 1 success.
Okay, 1 success. There is a sign. You do find it. It is actually, it is in the middle of the wall, so it is, but it's small. The only thing is, you have no idea what it means. It's not very clear.
Kara is simply going to say with it, the idea of not being surprised at all, and she says, and the Universal Translator can't make heads or tails of it. No surprise.
Daniel, I guess if they're drawing attention to the sign, Daniel will also try look at it, see if he can make heads or tails of it.
Grawl, I believe this is your area of expertise.
Tries to examine it.
Okay, give me an insight science check for Goral with xeno-anthropology would apply.
By the way, at any point since entering the station, has Daniel sensed any time fuckery afoot?
No, there hasn't been any.
Alright, just had to check.
Way to go, Goral.
Game.
Oh, very nice, Goral.
From you analyze the pictogram that's before you, as you look through it, it's certainly alien. Certainly something you've never seen before. But there are small telltale signs relatively universal. You believe this airlock leads into the personnel quarters.
This is alien, but I think this seems to show the way to personnel quarters, I'm guessing.
All right, that can lead us to some answers. Thank you, Grawl. We'll probably need you to try and decipher anything else. I'm not good at that sort of thing. She'll go over and try to open the next airlock door.
So the thing about airlocks is that you have to close the door on one side before you can open the other door. But with the engineering, you realize that, and one door's managed to trigger the manual closing for the door you entered to trigger the manual opening for the other door. And feel a bit of... Don't feel, because you're all in EV suits, but there is
Kara isn't.
A rush of air, particularly for Kara, as the area that you are now in is oxygenated. Still no gravity, but there is stale air.
All right. I don't recommend anyone taking off their suits. There's air in here, but it is still extremely cold. Let's fan out, search the room. If you find a body or something that looks like it can contain information, or, hell, something that looks like a security card, maybe that would be useful.
And
sets a salute and says, righto.
And
Daniel is going to look for a light switch.
You find the light switch, but it doesn't do anything. That's when, as you look forward, the immediate area around you is clear, but looking ahead, you see what appears to be black marks that are scraping along the ground, as if something was dragged.
John will scurry over and sniff the marks.
Give me an inside security check.
As I say that, Setsa will also be accompanying.
Yeah, Setsa can also do maybe we can get Setsa to find out if that's organic or something, like a blood smear.
Yeah. So, John, inside... he's good on security, not good on
inside. If he's got science or medicine, they will work as well.
It's the inside for John, that's the problem.
There.
Well, you're just gonna have to suffer with it.
One success.
While they're smelling the drag marks, Daniel's gonna kind of wonder out loud, I'm just wondering, why would they surgically infiltrate the docking bay of all of the different sides of the station to attack?
Well, if what Chorog said is true, it was also a cargo bay, which means they were probably interested in something the station was carrying more than the station itself.
Also probably the easiest point of access.
Several different reasons. Okay. We'll know more as we find out, but for now, I think the going theory is they wanted something off this station. And based on what happened to the planet below, they weren't large fans of this place in general. Come to think of it, the destruction down below is not like the Borg. The Borg don't simply destroy things, they assimilate them.
Both Setzer and John are unable to determine anything from the smears. They are sort of ingrained into the metal. They've been here for a long time, perhaps degraded. You're unable to determine what kind of liquid formed them.
Well, Kara for now is going to follow those, assuming that they'll lead to a door, a vent, or a body, one of the three.
So there are doors to the side where a lot of drag marks are coming out, apparently coming out of those and leading down the corridor ahead of you. You do see like a turn in the corridor and the marks follow around that turn.
Kara just kind of looks back at the rest of the group and says, when you're finished examining the quarters, I do believe I have found our next way forward.
Coming. Grog was looking around and moves an overturned table and finds some kind of data entry device, like a pad. Picks it up and hands it to Grog, see what he can make of it.
Grog examines it.
My first thought was, Grog examines it. The battery is dead.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. This seems like very dead. Is there an engineer who can take a look at this and turn it on?
I'll have to see if we can find some kind of charging port for it.
To do any of that, we'll have to get things back online. And no, Daniel, as a general rule, you shouldn't want to hook your suit to any sort of strange computer system. Iconians were very fond of very novel computer viruses.
And also, we don't know that this thing's power source is compatible with our power sources. We don't want to plug it in and blow it up.
Well, if I may, let's just go ahead and follow these drag marks and see what horrors we find.
Agreed, I'll take point.
Good. I'm not a fan of the dark.
As we walk, Daniel's going to get out his chronoscanner and just have it generally, just look for pings of activity, since if there's any ping of activity within its range, based on how long abandoned this place seems, it means that it should be something unusual.
Yeah, basically, if anything has happened within the last hour, that's bad.
Yeah, you're not picking up anything as you are through this area. You find more data pads, things seemingly, you know, they're all in the same state of power loss. Batteries, actually, or what amounts to batteries, drained of every scrap of power. There are clothes, there's personal items of various types, but they're all in serious states of decay. Fabric is very fragile and weak and easily torn. There's anything that's metal is tarnished and rough, and it doesn't look well. Just from the general state of the area, let's just say it wasn't evacuated cleanly and nicely. It was very rapid, very violent things that happened here.
I don't recommend anyone take off their suit. In addition to the cold, the fact that so many materials are degraded suggests that there is still microscopic life upon the station that lives. Or at least, there was some time ago. Contamination is a possible factor.
You come to the end of the corridor, and this is where it splits off. There's a sign that you see by one of the doors, and another sign.
Which one does the trail lead to?
It leads through to the one on the right.
Grawl, if you could, please try to translate the one on the right first.
Grawl attempts to analyze the writing again.
All right, give me your insight roll. Okay. Science with a focus.
Using the tricorder, would any of us be able to detect any sign of, like power on the station, or just in general electricity in anything?
The likelihood is very low, but you can do a check if you want to have a look.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say Daniel swaps to his normal his alien tricorder while we're stopped at the crossroads.
Okay, give me... I'm trying to think what attribute for this. Let's go... this is just basic insight, I think. Insight, engineering... security or science, either one of those three will do.
Okay. I don't think any of my focuses apply.
Okay. You are certain that any devices that are in, at least in the immediate area, are perfectly devoid of power. There is no power running through the walls. There is no power in any of the data pads that you found. There is no power running, I can't say anywhere in the station, because the tricorder is being blocked, but everything that you are seeing that goes out to a fair distance around you is, there's just simply no power whatsoever.
Given that their immediate attempts the local area are not turning up anything, Setsa is going to be, you know...
We do still have to see what... I mean, Grawl did roll to see what the sign said. And got three successes.
Yes, so we are getting to that there. That one leads to the medbay, to the medical wing of the station.
Well, I suppose that's a very obvious place for someone to be dragged if they're injured.
So... do we want to follow the ominous trail, or do we want to see if we can get something up and running, or?
Well, I suppose we have our options. It'll take us a while to open this door, so perhaps Grawl could translate the other one to find out where it leads.
And Grawl attempts to translate it, I assume, same rule?
Yep, same rule.
And Charog, if you would start on the door.
Copy that.
Daniel can help with the door.
What's the door going to be? Control engineering?
Daring and engineering or science. Oh, security, okay. Sorry. Engineering or
science. Do daring and security.
And what did I get for the one success?
Athru, You don't get much from the one success. It's not enough to properly determine.
I can't really tell. The sign's too damaged, unfortunately.
No worries. Thank you for trying.
Okay. The one roll...
Should just, Daniel was just helping, so... Yeah.
Basically two successes on three dice rolled.
Yep. So that is enough. You're able to enter. This is another locked sort of... airlock kind of situation. One door opens, you all enter, the door lock closes behind you, and then you open the one up ahead. And this...
Kara's eyes narrow as they're going through the airlock, and she says, I don't like this. So many airlocks suggest that they were trying to keep something contained.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Why are all these security doors down?
Well, maybe the station is modular. The whole thing looks like a bunch of spheres stuck together.
Well, that is a possibility. I wish you hadn't said that. I doubt it. I've seen modular stations. The Sullivan build such things. This is not like that.
The door opens to the med bay, and what you find is, well, disturbing. The marks on the ground become splatches on the wall. They come, sprays and other blobs of stuff, not just like on furniture that's there, not only on the ground, but on the walls, the ceiling. It was almost like a massacre occurred here, but no bodies, no sign of the physical remains that you would imagine would exist from a scene like this.
Kara will tap her comm badge to try to get a hold of the captain.
O'Connor here.
Captain, we've discovered some various things about the station thus far. We're all has been able to translate a few of the things manually, but nothing through the universal translator. We have discovered in the medical bay what looks like almost a charnel house, but there are no bodies.
A what?
A slaughterhouse. A place of terrible death.
All right. You didn't come through completely for that. Okay.
It should also be noted that, in addition to this charnel house, every room we have entered off of every hallway has been sealed by an airlock.
I see. Is this more primitive, or...?
I couldn't say to the technology level, but I would say that having an airlock between everything is a little bit unusual.
Not entirely with lower technology levels, but I feel your concern. If you feel like you need to pull out, pull out.
Setsu types her comm badge and says, well, to join in here, it appears the place was designed for artificial gravity, so, like, looks fairly advanced, to the point where simple compartmentalization doesn't seem useful. So yeah, we're investigating, but carefully.
Right. I don't feel we're in any current danger, Captain, but I would say that we should go through full decontamination protocols when we come back. Who knows what we're bringing back with us.
All right, agreed. I'll get the room with the lights and the gel set up.
Thank you, sir.
Sets of moans and just like,
Kara just tries to investigate to see if there's any clues around the medical bay. If there are no bodies, there might still be an object or something.
Also going to advise you keep comms open just in case.
Acknowledged, sir. We will leave the comms open. You can record our conversations as best you're able.
Graves, at this point, will look around to see for a couple of things. One, any sign of cybernetic equipment in terms of implantation or maintenance. Given that he's Conclave, he would be able to recognize like a variety of different devices from different cultures based.
That probably would be more of an engineering check than a medicine check, so can you be inside engineering for me? If anyone else wants to look around, they can do inside medicine for me.
This roll bodes poorly.
Oh my god. Oh, sorry, that was Charog's rolls, not mine. Although Charog had the same target.
I think I found something.
Oh no.
Listen, insight and medicine are my dump stats.
I mean, it's not that you got a 20.
Well, yeah, that too.
I was about to say, they were my end stats too, but I didn't get a complication.
for people listening, I rolled a 20 and an 18 with a target of 8, so...
nothing in your stats would have saved you.
Yeah.
No, but that does make it funnier.
Okay, so I know exactly what complication I will do for DB, but that'll be for later.
Oh, dear.
JB, this, there is sign, of, they, you know, there, there is medical, various medical devices and things around. They've been used, but kept clean, or at least they probably would have if whatever happened here hadn't happened. There's definitely some biological medicine going. What you do beyond that, you also find what amounts to, you know, that skeleton you find in doctor's offices? There's one of those.
An anatomical model.
Anatomical model. And it is, I don't know how you would have seen it, but maybe you would have received some kind of, seen something in passing, but it is the very much to the anatomical model of a saw, but it does have a tail. It is essentially Kara's exact body structure.
Drugs, but looking around, see if we can find, turns a corner and just about turns white as a ghost as he finds this anatomical model. Kara, you should see this.
Kara moves over, looks it up and down. Welcome home indeed.
This is you.
This is an organic version of me, yes. Captain, there definitely appears to be some connection between this station and whatever species created my body. This almost exactly looks like a sore, minus the fact that it has a tail.
I see. Do you want to get some more information before I try calling the SAR and asking what's up?
Well, yes. I don't know if they would have any records of this anyway, but
never heard
I just thought you should have some idea that we're discovering some very interesting things down here. Still no idea what happened to the crew, but now we have some idea of what they'll look like if we find them.
Roger that.
Duncan, you don't find any signs of cybernetic.
I do believe it's probably time for us to go check the other doorway. Although, if this is the species that created my body, I find it interesting that there are no cybernetics involved.
Yeah, so Duncan doesn't find anything, but, Garal finds signs of nanite production programming. Medical nanites.
Guys, I found nanites!
I see.
And TV...
Graves huzz on that point.
TV, with your complication, you think that the nanites have gotten onto you and maybe molecularizing, taking apart your spacesuit.
Well, while Daniel freaks out, Kara is going to go over to Grawl, and she is going to open up her arm and pull out part of her whip with the spike on the end. She's going to take that, and she's going to stab it into her arm and pull it out. What follows is a trickle of purplish blood, and she simply holds down her arm next to where Grawl found what he found and simply says, "Find out if these are the same, please."
I'll try. I'm not an engineer, but...
Frankly, I... just a theory. My blood is mostly nanites and carbon molecules.
Okay, Grawl is going to try attempt to do that with what tools he has on hand.
Okay, meanwhile, Daniel...
Sorry, you go, Daniel, and then I'll deal with the Grawls.
Yeah, I like to imagine Daniel, like, backed into a table, and after hearing the word nanites and seeing all the, like, degraded clothing around, and he's, like, trying to, like, reach behind him, but it's in that part of your back that you can't quite reach, especially when he's in this bulky suit. Like, he's just, trying to spin around and reach back there to see if there's a hole.
Do I hear screaming?
Just Daniel.
Oh, Justin. Okay, why is he screaming?
He's fine, he's just having a little bit of freak out right now. It's all good.
He's having a nanite panic attack.
A nanite panic? That seems something reasonable to be freaking out about.
John is attempting to calm down, Daniel.
Hypochondria is a thing, sir.
Not on your suit, they're not on your suit.
There's no hole?
No.
Just spray him with a fire extinguisher so they can feel better.
John does that.
And after being told that there is not, in fact, a hole in his suit, Daniel calms down, only to be suddenly sprayed in the face by something that completely blocks his vision, and he starts freaking out again. Ah, I'm blind!
John, do you got the squeegee?
I got the squeegee. He goes and starts cleaning off Daniel's visor with a specially curved squeegee.
Daniel, upon realizing that nothing has been wrong this entire time, calms down, gives it the classic. So anyway, what did you guys find?
Well, we found, like, you know, nanites in a diamond-shaped building made out of spheres.
Brawl is attempting to check and see if the nanites are similar to the makeup of my blood.
Richard, give me a reason science check for that. You could do medicine as well, but I don't...
Science is better.
Yeah. So, yes, there is definitely these nanites are inactive, first of all. But yes, there is definitely a similarity. Unfortunately, they're not the same. There's also some similarity with the book.
How unusual.
Yeah, I can't tell. These look similar to both yours and the Borg.
It's a very good thing that they're off, then.
So do we think the Borg assimilated whoever these people were, or...?
It's possible. But then the question becomes, why didn't the Borg assimilate the station?
And what happened to the planet?
Which, again, does not bear the hallmarks of a Borg attack.
Is it possible that whoever was here was trying to replicate Borg technology?
Could be. It's a disturbing thought. Nothing to do for it but press on. I suggest we go check the other door and see what's behind it.
There is a door forward here as well, buddy. But before we do that, I think this is a good time with that revelation to pause for today and continue on next time.
Oh, you have my attention.
I was going to ask if you're linking in the synth to Borg. Yeah, check in with Carr about that.
No, this is his thing. He can do whatever he wants here. That's why he has my attention, because I'm not sure where this is going.
Interesting. Yeah, since I did the Hawking Coalition guide, he's got the basic.
Hey, quick question.
But I should point out that Reliant and the AU aren't the same thing.
Would my focus in integrating technology apply to pretty much anything Borg-related, since all they do is integrate technology?
Like, they do it at such a high level, it's basically their... It's not in any usual...
I mean, the Borg, okay. Their assimilation technique is basically on the molecular level.
Yeah, it's nanite technology.
Basically, okay. Anything they assimilate is more or less replaced. It's just that in the act of replacing it and having assimilated the people who work with it, the Borg now know how it works. So any technology that the new people had that the Borg do not have, well, now the Borg have.
Okay.
Which is part of the reason they're terrifying, is because that if they find someone more technologically advanced than them, all they have to do is get a couple of them, and now they're on par.
Having a couple, all you need is one.
Yeah, true. But imagine if you just assimilate only idiots.
That's the thing about the Borg, is it is a hive mind of group consciousness.
Why do you think the Borg have never assimilated Ferengi or Paklin?
Or the Kazon. The Kazon were deemed unworthy of assimilation.
Yeah.
Dirty space hippies.
And with that...
Have we considered that that might be why they didn't assimilate the station?
I mean, it's possible, but even then the Borg probably wouldn't have gone to such great lengths to wipe them out. The Kazon still exist, after all. The Borg just ignore them.
Takes too much energy.
Who wants to assimilate a species that has weed for hair?
They are funny looking, I grant you.
Weed, you say?
I mean, many of them kind of have that high expression.
So, have we just introduced smoking a Kazon into Star Trek lore?
No, but I am imagining a Kazon with that very high look on their face stepping out of an airlock surrounded by smoke.
And with that, good night, everyone.
Bye.